We started a few weeks ago down this trail to discover the different ways that people receive their healing. We started with, I know you remember this, so I'll just remind you in case you don't. We played that song written in 1865, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. That's the foundation of anything you receive from him, as it is paid for. On the cross, it was paid for. Through the resurrection, it was secured, and now it belongs to you, and you can access it with your faith. Romans 8 talks about the cross and said, all things were given to us through the cross. So we have inheritance as children of God. And the inheritance begins when the one who secured the inheritance was raised from the dead. See, the will is not read until the person who wrote the will has died. Now, the person who wrote the will died, and then he rose from the dead to secure the properties of the will so that you could receive today all things pertain to life and godliness. That includes healing. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. That's the prophet Isaiah. Peter quotes part of that, and he says, by his stripes, we were healed, because he's looking back towards the cross to what is secured, to what is in place for you, what you can have today through your faith. Now, when I discovered that healing is paid for by his stripes, one translation says, by the wounds that wounded him, we are healed. I don't know if you understand how they beat prisoners in those days, but they would have a cat of nine tails, a whip with nine prongs, and they would tie metal and glass on the end of each of those nine trails, and they would grab one side of the flesh and pull across the other until the flesh pulled off the bone. That's the price that was paid. So there's no use you paying a price. You can't make the price. You see that. Said, I wasn't trying to make the price. Well, everybody's trying sometimes by self-effort, not by works of righteousness, which we have done according to his mercy, he saved us. Not by works of righteousness, that's Titus 3:5. You can't pay. If you could have paid, Jesus wouldn't have had to come, but you can't pay. But it's paid for. Now, if I went downtown and paid your electric bill, and you go down to pay it, and they say, ma'am, your bill is paid, you wouldn't protest that. You might say, I didn't pay it. And they say, well, it is paid. Somebody came here and paid. See, and your debt's paid. It's totally paid. It's over. And all you have to do is believe that and walk by faith. Now, there are several ways to receive your healing, and one is strictly faith in the Word. We covered that last week. And we started in Matthew chapter 8, where the centurion came on behalf of his servant. Now, it's amazing because that word servant is slave, that he cared so much for this servant that he wanted him healed. He said, my servant lieth homesick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said in verse 7, chapter 8, I will come and heal him. In other words, he was going to come and lay hands on him. But he said, no, you don't have to do that. See, this is the highest realm of faith. There isn't any realm any higher than to take the word of God by Jesus' stripes, by the wounds that wounded him, you are healed, and say, that's what I believe. Faith is always what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. He said, now, verse 9 is profound, I'm a man under authority. He said to Jesus, I'm a man under authority. He was under the authority of the Roman Empire. His authority was given to him by the Emperor of Rome. He had oversight of 100 soldiers, and they did what he told them to, but he was granted that authority, and he said, saying to Jesus, you are under authority, just as I'm under authority. But see, Jesus was under the authority of his Father. He was under the authority of his Father. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And if you read the book of John carefully, so many times Jesus said, the Father sent me. I came because he sent me. He said, I came to speak his word. The works that I do are the works that the Father is doing, the works that I see the Father doing. So he was under the authority of his Father, completely submitted. Now, all I have to do is submit to the authority of the Word with my faith because of his sacrifice. All I have to do is say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I have to know the will of God. Much religion doesn't know the will of God. They think he might heal, he could heal. If it's his will, he will heal. They need to do more reading. They need to camp out in Isaiah. He sent his word and healed me, 107th Psalm. marvelous passage in Malachi chapter 4, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing. You know, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And what does righteousness contain? What is embodied in righteousness? Healing. The righteous have a right to be healed. The will was written. The new covenant is a new will, new agreement, new contract. And the one that wrote the will has died and has resurrected, is now at the throne of the Father interceding to make sure when you come, you get the provision of the will. Now, if you inherited a large estate and they called and said there's nothing here for you and you thought that was an error, you'd fight for your rights. You'd say, I know what my daddy told me. Now, we knew daddy's estate was split three ways. I have a brother and a sister, sister in town, and a brother just outside of Savannah, Georgia, who prepared to be windblown and was not. Just in case you want to have a moment of jealousy. My dear friend who's in heaven now always said we need severe wind to shake the leaves and the dead limbs out of the tree. So I hope she's happy today because we did get quite a shaking. And it's looking good because Wayne's a hard worker. He is diligent, and we need to be as diligent in the Word. We need to read it and read it and read it and read it. It says meditate day and night. Well, obviously, you're going to do some sleeping, you're going to do some eating, you're going to do some other things. But it means the Word of God guides me day and night. It's always in my thinking. Now, we're going to be healed by our faith in the Word, and we're going to confess that Word. We're going to hear and obey the Word of the living God. Now, there's a difference in reading the Word and getting it in your heart. If you're sitting on a dock, looking at the water, there's great refreshing in just looking. But it's not as significant as putting your feet in the water or jumping off the end of the dock and actually getting in the water. See, the anointing of God is the power of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus said, Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me. That means when you read the Word, you expect the Spirit of the Lord to teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance. You expect not just to look at the Word and say, I love this, but to feel the impact of the Word in your heart, in your spirit. It makes a tremendous difference to do more than pass by the Word and say, that was good, that was good, I read that. I know that chapter. But to jump right in and read and meditate and thank God and praise Him and allow the water, you're washed with the water of the Word, and allow the water of the Word to make a difference. Now, here's the key verse of this, verse 13, chapter 8. Jesus said, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, be it done unto thee. As you have believed. So you have options as far as healing. Once you believe the Word, meditate in the Word, hear the Word, cling to the Word, speak the Word, you can be anointed with oil, you can have hands laid on you, you can pray the prayer of faith, you can call for the elders, you can have someone agree with you, you can call upon the name of Jesus. You have options. He said, as you had believed. Well, what had this centurion believed? He believed Jesus said so, it's so. And Jesus said, there's not this kind of faith in Israel. Now, how sad is that? Not this kind of faith in Israel. Now, we also read John chapter 4, where the nobleman came on behalf of his son. And he wanted Jesus to come to his house. His son was dying. And Jesus said, no, you go home as well. Now, he's got to believe that. He's got to hear that. He's got to receive that, not just on a mental level. Now, he's 16 miles from home, so he's walking into the next day before he met his servants. Jesus spoke to him at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Let's just say it was a Monday. We don't know. And then Tuesday, he ran into his servants who said, your son's living. And he said, when did he come alive? They said, yesterday at the seventh hour. And he knew that's the very time Jesus said, go home. Now, he could have said, no, you come with me. I don't want to go home without you. I came to get you. I walked 16 miles. You come to me. No, Jesus said, go home. He's alive. And he believed that. See, when I read and meditate, I have to allow the water of the Word to impact not just my mind, but my spirit. You know, your mind gets off track. I know you've noticed that, right? It gets kind of off track, and it's pulled sometimes by what it sees and how it feels. But the word of God is secure in the spirit of man. And the word of God will bring faith, and faith can be spoken. And then if you want just to speak the word, that's what these people did. They heard the word. They obeyed the word. Now, you remember the lepers, Luke chapter 17, 10 lepers. And Jesus said, go your way and show yourself to the priest, because the priest actually signed the certificate. We're just saying it was a certificate, and said that they were healed. And it says, as they went, they were healed. So when they left Jesus, they were still diseased. But they left because he said, leave. He said, go to the priest. In other words, the priest will sign that you're healed as they went. Luke 17. So there is that realm of faith where I just know what God said. I just believe what God said. You know, every now and then, Wayne or somebody will say something to you and you say, really? Are you sure? Well, when we approach the Word of the Living God, we are sure. We're really sure. We're really certain. We have to read it and read it and school our mind so that our mind is renewed. It has to be renewed. How's it going to be renewed? It's going to be renewed from the water of the Word that impacts your spirit. It's going to come from the Spirit to the mind. It says you have the mind of Christ. You don't have the mind of Christ if you don't have the Word. But if you have the Word, you have access to His mind, and by the Spirit, that Word will be made clear to you. Now, you can be healed, just faith in the Word. Just believe and say so. There was a lady who was not born again, and she always talked to me about issues. She wanted to know how I felt about abortion, how I felt about Mother Teresa and other. She's very issue-oriented, and I always try to be kind. And one day I said to her, she talked to me a lot, I said, really the issue is not Mother Teresa, it's Jesus. And she didn't say anything. I could tell she doesn't know exactly. Now, she's a church person. And I told her, I said, I know your church believes Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Do you believe that? She said, oh, yes. Yes, I believe that. I said, have you ever said that's what you believe? She said, no. I said, the scripture says, and I quoted Romans 10, if you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, believe in your heart, say with your mouth. She said, well, I'm going to say so. That was it. Amen. That was her whole statement of faith. I'm going to say so. You know, we're expecting an essay. Well, I'm going to say Jesus died for my sins and he rose from the grave on the third day. She knew that. She was a church person. But it had never been personal to her. You've got to get off the dock and get in the water. If healing's going to come to you, you've got to be in the water of the Word. Now, next to that is, and we're going to talk about laying on hands today, is whatever you could be anointed with oil. You could have the prayer of faith. Whatever your heart is attached to, whatever the Spirit leads you to. The predominant way we see in Jesus' ministry, look at Mark chapter 5, was the laying on of hands. The woman with the issue of blood, she had had an issue of blood 12 years, and I'm going to tell you, 12 hours would have been enough of that. 12 years. They were not allowed out in public. That begins in verse 26. No, that's chapter 6. Chapter 5, it still begins in verse 25. Certain woman. Now, I just want to say this because it came to me as I was studying. A lot of things people call a parable. There's a couple of things that say, well, that's just a parable. Once it says it's a certain woman, it's not a parable. A parable is a story that illustrates a point. This was a certain woman. So you watch for that word, certain, because these aren't parables. These are actual events. And it said she'd suffered many things and many physicians. I think I saw that doctor myself. And had spent all she had with nothing better, rather grew worse, and she heard of Jesus. Now, what comes by hearing? Faith comes by hearing. But it's not just you have an acquaintance with the Word. Oh, I know that. I heard that. See, I was raised in church. I was in church from the time I was a few weeks old. And we, our church, studied all the events of the Bible, and you knew the people involved, the place involved. We knew that. I mean, I knew that before I was born again. So one day we were at my cousin's and they had Bible trivia. They wanted to play Bible trivia. And I just beat them up. And I'll just tell you, I did get who was Adam's wife. And I did get a couple of shoe-in questions, you know. And then they said, oh, she won't know this. She won't know this. She won't. They were so excited. And they said, who was Samuel's father? I said, Elkanah, E-L-K-A-N-A-H. This is a response I got from them, too. So how did I know that? I knew that before I was born again, it's a matter of I had it in my mind. But you got to put something out of your mind into your heart. You can memorize all you want to. I was at a lady's house. Wayne was in the military. And she wanted apple pie in exchange for sewing his new stripes on. And so I went to do that for her. And she had this little boy, oh, maybe 2 or 3 years old. And he kept touching the Bible. He'd go over almost touching it and say, no, 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 no. And he'd try it again and say, no, no, no. I said, what a shame. See, you should be acquainted with your Bible. It shouldn't be there as a dusty book that's to be cherished but not opened. In order to meditate day and night, you got to open the book. And you got to spend time, and you got to read. Now, if you calculated, don't throw a book at me, okay? The time you spent watching TV and the time you spent reading your Word, you would change. Now, my favorite program, told you this last week, comes on Tuesday night. I'm not a TV watcher. I watch two programs on regular TV and Couple House and Garden, if I think about it. And when we were raised as little children, we didn't have a TV. Do you remember that? We didn't have a TV. I was in sixth grade, and I found out that TVs were a hindrance to my children, and so I told them, when this TV breaks, we'll never have another one. And I didn't pray that. I did not pray that it would break, but I said, I will never fix it, and I will never replace it. I let the children know that. So the day came. See, this has nothing to do with your children or your TV. It has to do with mine. The day came, it broke. We threw it out. And next 10 years, we didn't have a TV. And you know what I discovered? The only thing my children knew how to do together was to sit side by side and watch TV. Otherwise, they didn't know how to interact. But see, when I read the Word, I have to interact with that. I have to secure it in my heart and get it in the recesses of my mind. See, if I have my mind on the Word, then I'll have less trauma. I can have my mind on the pain and the time zone and the doctor's prescription. I love the world of prescriptions. We'll just move on. We won't talk about that. Okay, she heard of Jesus. Now, I'm telling you, look at Acts chapter 10, what she had heard. I know exactly what she had heard, and it's in Acts chapter 10, and we'll be back. I'll put that wonderful eulogy right there. I loved that. This is Peter speaking to the house of Cornelius. And he said in his sermon, verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel. So we're talking about something that God sent, a word that God sent. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. That word, the word that God sent, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Now, the word, Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, was after the baptism of Jesus by John. And that word which Jesus gave, it says, was over all of Galilee, not some of Galilee. You see that word all? In other words, everybody had heard this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me. That's the word. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me. So everybody had heard that word. And began from Galilee. It began because he was baptized in Galilee. How God, here's the word that everybody knew. How God anointed Jesus and has the Holy Ghost with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed, tyrannized, harassed of the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed. Who sent the anointing? When Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, it was God that sent the Spirit of the Lord upon Jesus to preach, teach, and to heal. And it says in verse 37, this word, God anointed Jesus, was known throughout all of Galilee. Now, if you go back to Mark chapter 5, that has to be the word that she heard. Because he said that word was, everybody knew that. Galilee knew that. Judea knew that. She came to the place behind and touched it. She had heard he was anointed, and if you touched him, the anointing flowed out of him into you. That's what she heard. That's what she knew. That's what she understood. So she said, if I touch his garments, she didn't say, I might be whole. I could be whole. I hope this works. It worked for somebody else. I hope it worked for me like it worked for Mabel. You know, she said, I shall be. See, her faith is secure, and it is your confession that secures the word you have in your heart. It's your confession. It's what you say that secures the word. And she said so. And when she touched Jesus, straightway, verse 29, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body, and she was healed of that disease, healed of that plague. She felt in her body. In other words, the anointing was transferred into her and she was aware of the anointing. The anointing is tangible. It's as tangible, more tangible, than if you stuck a bobby pin in an electric socket. You would feel. You wouldn't see anything. Stars, maybe, I don't know. But you would feel. A gentleman who had been out, he'd walked through a puddle, he said, and he had come in and was adjusting the light bulb and his shoes were wet, and he felt quite a wave of trauma when he did that. And she felt something. But see, what she felt was the anointing moved from him into her. The anointing is that tangible. It's that viable. When people fall into the power, what do you think has happened to them? See, that's the anointing has entered them. Now, Jesus, verse 3, immediately knowing himself that virtue, which is the Greek word for power or anointing, it's the word dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. And what he said, dynamite went out of him into her. That's what it says. Dynamite went out of him into her. He said, who touched me? And everybody was touching Jesus. The disciples mentioned that. They couldn't believe, you know, how ignorant can he be? Everybody's touching you. But see, it's not just the fact that you happened upon him or you tried it to see if it was work. It was happened. She believed. She said, it shall be. She was concrete. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen concrete drying, but when they first pour it, if you put your feet in there and you don't get your feet out pretty quick, you may get your feet out, but your shoes are eternal in that. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. What was done in her? Something was done in her that she knew, that she felt. Said she felt it. He said he felt it. It was the flow of the anointing. The anointing is tangible, and it's transported. It moves. And what she felt, what she knew was done in her, was that the anointing had come into her. And she fell down. And he said in verse 34, daughter, thy faith has made thee. He didn't say the anointing made you whole. He didn't say my power made you whole. He said the faith made you whole, because it was the faith that causes the power to flow. It's the faith that causes the power to move. No faith, the power may be present, but you won't receive any because you didn't access it with your faith. It's accessed by your faith. Now look at Mark chapter 6, where Jesus goes to his hometown of Nazareth, which is the same incident as Luke chapter 4. And he found out he couldn't do anything there. And in verse 5, it said he could there. Didn't say he wouldn't. The Spanish Bible actually says he tried to, but he couldn't. Well, what was the problem here? Was he not still anointed? Was the power of God not still upon him? Of course it was. Then why couldn't he do anything? He could there do no mighty work, save he laid his hands upon a few. Now, you want to know how many a few is? It's 8. You know how I know that? Because it says a few were saved in Noah's flood. That's Noah and his wife, 3 sons and 3 wives. That's 8 people. That's my synopsis. A few were sick and he healed them. And he marveled because of what? They didn't believe he was anointed. And they said, isn't this Joseph's son? And if you read the Luke account, it says they were furious and they tried to push him off the hill. Now, I don't want to throw you a big curve, but listen. He walked through the crowd. Now, if you've got a crowd of people fixing to push you off a hill, why is it they couldn't push you off the hill?
The anointing.
Huh?
The anointing.
This is real big. Was Jesus without sin? Huh?
Yes.
Do you know a man without sin is not subject to death? He's not subject to death. I don't care how hard they pushed.
Glory.
So when did he die? When he became sin for us. When he became sin for us. That's when he died. He who knew no sin became sin. He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, became sin. And when he became sin, now people always want to know, they want questions answered that God didn't answer. And you know, if God didn't answer, maybe you should just move on to a question he did answer. I was in a place of business and the lady saw that I taught Bible and she said, can I ask you a Bible question? My husband's been discussing this question. We've talked about it at supper. I said, fine. I don't guarantee to answer anything. I'm not a spur of the moment person, generally speaking. She wanted to know where Cain got his wife. I said, I don't know. God didn't say. She said, but I want to know. I said, well, we don't know. God didn't say. She just wouldn't leave it alone. I said, I can't answer a question that God didn't answer. How dumb would I look trying to explain something that God didn't explain? But if there's explanation and you meditate day and night, the Holy Ghost can reveal the answer to you. Now, I've been asking the Lord, please explain holiness to me. Explain holiness to me. Explain holiness to me. Our definition of holiness, our teaching on holiness across the church world as a whole is inadequate. And I've been asking, and I've been thanking, and some light has come. But see, I've been seeking that light. I've been asking for that. I said, you know, I may have 10 more years to live. 20 would be a stretch. And I said, I have to know that. Because all my life, I've listened to all that was said. I was raised denominationally. And it isn't enough. And the other day, see, it's because I sought it, because I asked. I don't have an answer. I have a part of an answer. But it's because I sought it. See, if you seek the Lord, you'll find him. If you seek healing, you'll find it. If you seek it, you'll find it. And this lady, somebody told her, do you know everybody touches him is healed? He's anointed. Now, that's a strange word because we don't use it. Do you ever use that word, anointed? Nobody says that. And when words pass away, then we read the scripture and we have no idea. The anointing is very similar to marinating your steak before you put it on the grill. You put oil and spices all over it, then you put it on the grill. And the anointing comes all over you. It comes from heaven. It comes by the Spirit. It comes often through the laying on of hands. That's the anointing. It's like marinating your steak. Now, I'm not a steak eater. I can take them or leave them. I'm more of a pork and chicken person. But if you invited me over for steak, you know, I'd never say a word because I believe you have to be polite. You have to be kind. I was taught that. I was raised in Southern tradition of thank you, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And I'd be polite. I'd be kind, but it wouldn't be my preference. See, and I have to prefer the word. I have to give it preference. I have to put it in first place. And I have to hear it, knowing the Holy Ghost is going to explain it to me, and it's going to flood my mind, and then I can keep my mind anchored. If you don't have anything in your mind, it goes over here to the pain, and over here to how much this is going to cost, and over here, somebody will say, oh, Sister Susie had that. Oh, she suffered. Somebody always wants you to know the bad news. That's just the truth. What if I keep my mind on him? That's what happened to this lady. And she was healed. And he says, your faith made you heal. Now, Mark 6, they didn't get anything because there wasn't any faith. And it's not trial and error here. Let's just see if this works. I went to visit a lady hospital. She was not expected to live. And I know her, knew her well. And she was kind of a second mother to me for a season. And I know she doesn't know healing. She doesn't know anything about healing, but I'm going to go anyway. And I went and I told her, did you know Jesus has healed you and by his stripes you were healed? She said, I knew that. I knew that. I about passed out. I thought, nah, she doesn't know that. And then she said, this is why I've struggled to live in case he heals me. She didn't know it at all. She had a mental grasp of facts that weren't true. You should know the truth, what sets you free. John 8, you should know the truth, and the truth sets you free. It's the truth, the truth, the truth that sets you free. Now look at Luke 6. The anointing. It's tangible, it's felt, it's perceived. Not seen, perceived. And it's transported, it moves from the vessel God chooses. Now, the anointing has many different manifestations. We're not talking about an anointing to minister as a pastor, although the pastor may, which should certainly have an anointing to minister, or the evangelist. The anointing on the evangelist would be different. Those are anointings to stand in that office to perform the duty of that office. When we're talking about a healing anointing, we're talking about an anointing that comes upon the pastor. It can come upon a layman. Usually what you see is somebody that's anointed is frequently, very, very frequently anointed. But God might anoint you and say, go pray for your neighbor. Now, we were in Moscow, been there many times, and a couple came, and they said, and I don't speak Russian, so I have to have an interpreter, said they, their son was very ill, and he couldn't come, but they came for him. And she brought me a Kleenex to lay hands on, but that won't work. Electricity won't go into everything, and neither will the anointing. Kleenex won't work. It's paper. Paper won't work. So they, everybody, you're in Russia, you have your scarf on. If you don't have a scarf on, you're not in Russia. You're somewhere else. You just look at your ticket because you didn't make Russia. And I said, can I lay my hands on your scarf? Would you put this scarf on your son's body when you get home? I said, would he let you do that? She said, oh, yes, he would. And so I went to lay my hands on the scarf. And this has never happened to me before. It's never happened to me since. I've been around over 40 years teaching, most of that time healing. And when I laid my hand on that scarf, now there's a couple, and here's my interpreter right here who's telling them what I said. And when I laid my hand on that scarf, the anointing jumped out of my hand and went, and it almost knocked my interpreter flat. And she said, what was that? It's not usually that visible, that tangible, but it always is. It is. It is. Now look at Luke chapter 6. Verse 17, they came down, that's the locals, stood in the plain, the company of the disciples, a great multitude of people out of Judea, Jerusalem, from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came what? To hear him be healed. To what? If you don't hear, you're not healed. If you don't hear, you don't have faith. And it's more than mental assent. It's more than just, I know the facts here. It has to do with my heartfelt grasp of what Jesus has done. It has to do with swimming in the water of the Word, not just sitting on the edge of the dock. It's not just reading my Bible through. I am not a proponent of reading your Bible through for me. I know people that do that with great success. One lady reads her Bible through every year, and she's been doing that for 20, 30 years. She can quote the Old Testament. It's absolutely amazing to me. I said, you know, you need to ask her. No, just this lady, just ask her where that is. She's amazing. And that works for her, but it won't work for me. Because I have to have an inspiration. I have to know, where should I be reading today? See, I just finished the book of Ezekiel. Never would I have thought that's a good idea. Have you read Ezekiel? I read it through. See, the Holy Ghost is your leader. He's your teacher. He's the anointing. He can send the anointing if you'll hear the Word. If you'll be in that place of inspiration. Well, halfway through Ezekiel, it is 48 chapters. You wanted to know that, didn't you? And some are very complicated. And I'm not an Old Testament scholar. I'm a healing teacher. Halfway through, I began to hear the Lord say, read that again. I thought, again? 48 chapters? Again? I began to tell the Lord what I'd seen. I said, now, I saw this the first time. I know this. And I saw this, I'm going to tell him the things that had impacted me. See, when you read with the Holy Ghost, you're impacted. You get wet with the water of the Word. Well, got to chapter 48, and I just finished reading it for the second time. It's called Hurricane Ian Reading. I read Ezekiel for the second time. I saw some things I didn't see the first time. It was amazing, I thought. I never noticed that. Do you know how important going to church is? Let me tell you. Ezekiel says, they did not keep God's commandments, and they didn't keep the Sabbath. Now, keeping the Sabbath was one of the Ten Commandments. So he isolated it in order for them to know he was placing emphasis on the tenth, on this commandment of the Sabbath. And it says that over and over again. They didn't honor the Word. They didn't obey my Word. Oh, and they didn't keep the Sabbath. It's the same thing you find in the book of John where he said, Jesus, after his resurrection, said, go tell my disciples and Peter. It's not that Peter wasn't a disciple. He was a disciple, but he wanted to make sure that Peter was impacted and that Peter heard this message because Peter had denied him three times. He said, go tell disciples and Peter. It's the same that we read in Acts chapter 10. The Holy Ghost in power. The Holy Ghost is the power, but he's placing emphasis on the power that comes from the Holy Ghost. And that's what you see. And I told the Lord that the first time I read it through. I said, that's very important. That's very important. I see that. That's very important. And that's a key to helping people who watch church on TV all the time to know how important it is together with the body and to keep the Sabbath, see? So I'm trying to impress the Lord that maybe I don't need to read this the second time. But I did, and I found out some other things. And Ezekiel says, this is my interpretation, the bottom line of everything is absolute holiness. Now, what subject had I been asking the Lord to guide me through and help me to learn more about? Was holiness. It says the bottom line is, and the word in the New Living is absolute holiness. I read that and read that, and I thought, it's a good thing I obeyed, isn't it? See, I'm expecting to be taught. I'm expecting to hear. I'm expecting to be impacted. Now, it says, they came to hear and be healed. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. The whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue, which is the word dunamis again, the word power, went out of him. See, the anointing moves, but it moves by faith. It's faith that moves the anointing from person to person. It comes from God through a vessel into your body. It doesn't come at all. It doesn't move at all. It's absolutely stationary, even though it's in existence, if you don't access it by faith. And see, when I get up in that healing line, I say, I'm here, Father, to receive the anointing. It will come from heaven, and it will flow into my body. And I thank you now. And I'm not looking at the vessel that applies because you make a mistake there. I'm looking at God who sends the anointing through the vessel. So they came to hear. Now, we went to a meeting, and we'd been there all week. Our children were small and they were tired, and it had rained and we'd gotten wet going into the meeting. We'd been there all morning. Here we are again, and we'd gotten number to get in the healing line, and we didn't realize they call numbers in sequence if you're not there when your number called, you know. And we were wet and we had been there and we were tired and we didn't have a seat. It was all at the top of the stadium where the air conditioner blew down our wet bodies. It was terrible. We were not hearing a thing. And Joel and Suzanne kept going and said, Mama, Mama, Mama. They wanted to go, and I thought, me too, but I'm waiting out this healing line. Well, they didn't call our number because we didn't understand the number system. You see, we didn't hear. It wouldn't matter if they'd call my number because I didn't hear a thing that was said. All I knew is I'm wet and I'm cold and I'm tired and I'm thousands of miles from home. Do you see? I set myself to hear, to absorb. And when hands are laid upon me. Now, that's not the only method. Now look at Matthew 15. Let's read one more. When you read somebody receive the anointing, you will know that they're in faith. Matthew 15, verse 34. They had been on the Sea of Galilee. There was a big storm. Peter walked on the water and Jesus rescued him. And they got out of the boat at Gennesaret, verse 34. They'd gone across the sea to Gennesaret. When the men of that place had knowledge of him, the Mark account, this is the same thing in Mark 6:54, it said, when they knew him. When they what? See, you could say you saw Wayne Cumbie downtown with some beautiful blonde, and I say, I know him, so I know you didn't. First of all, we're together 24 hours, 6.5 days a week. We kind of have a couple hours where he has to go to Lowe's. But other than that, so I know him. And it said, when they knew Jesus, they knew him. See, they said, this is him. This is the one that's anointed. This is the one that the power comes out of and into. You see that? They besought him they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were perfectly whole. Perfectly, I love that, perfectly whole. Now, I want to show you real quick. Turn to 2 Kings. You can't believe what you didn't hear. And you can't access without faith, so you got to hear and believe. Now, this is the death of Elijah, and Elijah and Elisha are going towards the Jordan River, and Elijah constantly tries to sidetrack. Elisha was his servant who is going to inherit the ministry, so to speak. And in verse 1, he says he was at Gilgal, and he says, you stay here. And Elisha said, I'm not staying here. And then he went to Bethel, that's verse 2, and he said, you stay in Bethel. Elijah telling Elisha. He said, I'm not. And then he said, in verse 4, he came to Jericho. See, part of winning is persistence. Been real easy to say, my feet hurt and I'm hungry, so I'll just stay here in Gilgal and you go on to Jericho. He wouldn't turn loose. Now, if you read verse 9, it came to pass when they were gone over. They went over the Jordan River, and Elijah took his cape. See, the cape, cloth, absorbs anointing. If you're anointed very long, your clothes are going to absorb that anointing. You find that in Acts chapter 19, the aprons that Peter wore to make tents, people began to, I'm sure they snuck in there at night with their scissors. They began to cut those aprons and those handkerchiefs because it says the anointing went out of them. See, but he had that apron on all day working, making tents. He was a tent maker. Okay. Elijah asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, verse 9, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. A double portion, that means the anointing comes in various quantities, not qualities. Little dab will do you. But quantities. It says Jesus was anointed without measure. John 3:34. He was anointed without measure. That means that all of the anointing in existence was on the Son of God as he walked the earth. Without measure. And what Elisha asked for, now this is a confusing verse. I'm going to explain to you. Verse 10. Elijah said to Elisha, thou hast asked a hard thing. It's not what that says. Don't believe that. It says, you have been hard in asking. You have been hard. That's what it says in the Hebrew. You've been saying, and when he said, you stay at Gilgal, I'll go on. He said, no, I'm not staying. You stay Bethel. He said, no, I'm not. So he had been persistent. He had been saying, it's my persistence. I am healed. I know that. And the anointing will go into me and I will receive. You see that. And so, now let me show you one more. 2 Kings 13. If this doesn't wet your wood's wet. This should make you shout and holler. This is the death of Elisha. Elijah died and went up in a whirlwind into heaven. He didn't die per se. He was airlifted. Now, this is Elisha, verse 20. Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year, and it came to pass as they were burying a man that, behold, they saw a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. See, they were passing by Elisha's sepulcher when they saw the Moabites, who were their enemies, and they know if we don't get out of the way here, they're going to kill us. And so they just took the body that they'd come to bury. They threw it on top of Elisha. When the man was let down, touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. That's the anointing. That's the dunamis. That's the dynamite of God. He stood right up. Now, I watched, you can get the music ready. I watched a preacher in Africa. He had the people in a circle, and a lady came running with a baby. That baby was dead, obviously dead. And she handed him to the pastor, and he held him, and he just kept right on preaching. I mean, I saw it. This was recorded there. And he kept preaching and holding that dead baby and pacing around with that dead baby and just holding that dead baby and keep preaching. And they were people in a circle. And finally, he came to a circle, and he said, let me borrow your bottle of water. And so the lady handed him water, and he sprinkled some water on that baby's face. And when he did, see, what was happening to him while he was holding that baby? The anointing was flowing into that dead body. And when he sprinkled water on that face, the baby went, that baby about that big. How old is that?
A few days, a week.
About that big. What happened to that baby? See, get ready. Because the anointing is going to increase in these end times. What you've seen is nothing compared to what we can see. But you have to have your heart ready. You have to be in the Word, baptized in the Word, know the Word, believe the Word, confess the Word. And when you get in that healing line or in that, sometimes it's just an anointed atmosphere. You don't need a line. It's just the atmosphere is pregnant.
Amen.